cheap and very pure heroin is creating an addiction crisis across America. Much of the heroin is from Colombia and is replacing crack cocaine as the drug of choice, in particular among the young. In Massachusetts, for example, more than 4% of high school boys report they've used heroin. Today's epidemic is different from the one that infected many urban communities in the 1970s. In the first story of a series on heroin in America, NPR's Anthony Brooks reports on the new, younger generation of heroin addicts.
The streets of South Boston are at the epicenter of the heroin epidemic. Increasingly sophisticated dealers are ravaging this insulated and largely Irish working to middle class neighborhood. In the South Boston courthouse, Jack Leary is the assistant chief director of probation and one of a handful of public officials tracking the crisis.
In the last 4 years, over 100 people have died in this community. You know, that's sad.
In Boston, heroin is now the number one cause of drug abuse deaths, and the new victims are getting younger. In the 1970s, the average heroin user was 28 to 30 years old and probably urban. Today, the average addict is a white middle-class teenager. In the 70s, a bag of heroin, enough to get a user high once, cost $30 and was about 28% pure. Today, it's 80 to 90% pure, which makes it powerfully addictive, and it sells for $4 a bag, cheaper than a six-pack of beer. John Auerbach, who heads Boston's Public Health Commission, says at that price, kids can stumble across it on the streets, at school, and at parties.
If the heroin is very pure, then it's possible to snort it instead of inject it. So a lot of the teenagers who would say, I'm never going to put a needle in my arm, will go to a party and be willing to snort a drug. And then they get hooked and eventually they inject. But it's an easier entry point for many of the younger folks.
This is Cushing House in South Boston, a state-funded halfway house for drug and alcohol-dependent teenagers. A dozen boys spend up to 6 months here, most of them committed by juvenile court. Well over half of them are addicted to opiates, prescription OxyContin, or heroin. Director John McGann says the program has a two-month waiting list because of the growing number of young heroin addicts.
When we do an interview, we ask, you know, age of first use. I mean, it's not uncommon to have, you know, alcohol and marijuana start at 10, 11, just because of the people they meet in that culture. Here in South Boston, it's not uncommon to meet a 16-year-old heroin addict.
Heroin is probably one of the worst drugs out there, but it gives you the best feeling. That's why it's getting all these kids hooked.
This young man, who asked not to be identified, so we'll call him Sean, represents an increasingly typical resident here at Cushing House. Sean is 17, white, from a suburb north of Boston. He has reddish blonde hair, freckles, and eyelids that look heavy, giving him an absent, faraway demeanor. He says he started drinking, then smoking marijuana at 13. Then he moved on to pills, cocaine, and OxyContin at 15, when he was busted for assault and battery and locked up in juvenile detention for 7 months. He got out, went back to drugs. Then his aunt introduced him to heroin when he was 17.
She said she'd just give me a couple lines. It's way better than weed. I was like, all right, whatever, I'll try it. And I tried it, and I loved it. Just the feeling that it gives you, you just get all numb and stuff, it's awesome. And I started using a needle, because it's such a different high when you use a needle. I started doing that all the time.
Sean was hooked. His family tried to keep him in treatment, but he quit, dropped out of school, and struggled to feed a powerful addiction.
I sold my stereo and stuff, and sold PlayStation games, PlayStation, Nintendo, all kinds of stuff. Doing anything I could do to get money. I was stealing from my mother, stealing from my grandparents, robbing people. You'd go into like a pizza shop and you'd steal the tip jar and you'd walk out. And we'd do that like every day. And we'd do it for like 3 hours, 4 hours straight until we had enough money to get a bag of dope. And then stuff just got even worse.
Sean was busted for drug use, a probation violation that landed him in Cushing House this past November. John Auerbach of Boston's Public Health Commission says young addicts like Sean represent a new public health challenge.
The new profile, which is the younger profile, involves kids who are still living with their parents, maybe still in high school. And so the way that the heroin use presents itself is much more as a family problem, and they don't know where to turn.
Members of the treatment community say that young, aimless kids like Sean may now be the most vulnerable. But in fact, there is no typical heroin addict.
I see lawyers, I see doctors, and I see people who probably didn't finish the eighth grade.
That's Judy McDonough, executive director of Gavin House, another South Boston halfway house for adult addicts.
I think that's what people have to realize. There is not a typical user. You make a mistake when you try to profile somebody, because that's going to be when somebody's trying to point out, hey, your son, your daughter might have a problem. That's part of the denial. That's part of the, you know, it just doesn't fit with my story, my life. I'm a good parent.
Well, the word heroin itself shook me to the bone.
The lesson of heroin's seductive power came home, literally, to Robert Waxler and his wife Linda when a friend called to warn them that their 25-year-old son was an addict.
They had all the common stereotypes in my mind of what a heroin addict was. I remember my wife, when I got off the phone, immediately said, no, never in our house, never in our family.
And certainly not their beloved son, Jonathan. An intelligent, college-educated union organizer pursuing a master's degree, who grew up far from the streets of South Boston in a world of upper-middle-class privilege and comfort. On his desk at the University of Massachusetts, where Robert Waxler teaches literature, sits a picture of Robert and Linda and their two sons, Jeremy and Jonathan. It's a portrait of a stable American family that masks the tragedy that would befall it. In his book, Losing Jonathan, Waxler describes his son's year-long battle with heroin addiction and his own journey into detox centers and halfway houses across the country in a struggle to save his son's life.
It's a remarkable transformation because I now understand that heroin has no boundaries. It doesn't make any difference what economic class you're in, what social condition you're in, what kind of education you have. People reading the book, called or written, you know, and then they begin to tell their story. And their story is very similar.
After falling in and out of treatment for a year, Jonathan Waxler died of an overdose at the age of 26. His father says his son's deadly encounter with heroin could happen to anybody. These days, it's an increasingly common fate of a new generation of younger heroin users. Anthony Brooks, NPR News, Boston.
Tomorrow, the parents of addicts ask for more treatment options and funding. Treatment resources are at npr.org.